8 a.m. Sunday morning, Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM and 1340 AM, streaming on the LV Sports Network and seen on all our Facebook pages live. That's a scary thought. They're everywhere. They're all around me. If you're listening for the first time, this is Out of Line, and we're here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9. I'm Brian Feldman. Straight in front of me, behind a bunch of equipment 99.9% of you would have no idea what to do with, is producer and sports radio personality Chris Magnum Chapman. And to my left on your radio dial today, hooking us up to Facebook Live and adding his dos pesos at every given opportunity, mi buen amigo y asistente. I'm getting it close, man. It's my brother from another mother, all right? And huge Mexican football fan, Jose Valonte, whose podcast, Straight Bet Sports, is definitely worth checking out. Follow on Twitter at Out of Line 1340 AM, and on Facebook, it's even easier to remember. It's Out of Line. That's OUTTALINE. Chime in, or you can call in on the Fox Sports studio line, which is 702-876-1340.
Hi, this is Bubby, and it's time for What's on Tap.
Yeah, What's on Tap is hooked up every week thanks to Bubby's University on South Hualapai between Tropicana and Flamingo. A great place to check out every game. Jose, what's on tap, brother?
Today, we got some serious World Cup soccer action is going down, and I know that the U.S. isn't in it, but I hope that all you sports fans are out there paying attention as well. Not only that, backed by popular demand,
okay,
Nightcap will be a repeat of last week. If you missed Brian's interviews from George McPhee on the red carpet at the NHL
Awards, guess what? Hold on, I'm going to cut you off.
Oh, wait a minute. Did you switch me up here?
Well, Magnum just, you know, he when I first get here, sometimes it's his job to get out the guillotine and chop things in half. And he said, you know what? The George McPhee interview, especially since George McPhee is going to be speaking today in a little while at City National Arena, because it is the beginning of free agency in the National Hockey League today. Cat Knight's already made a move. We're not going to play that interview, but we've got a little tiny piece of that interview that I think you're going to be hearing for a long time on this show. So go ahead and finish up, man.
Not only that, we got all kinds of moves in the NBA going on as well. What about the NBA moving here? Can that possibly happen? Yes, we got something to say about that as well. Plus, stuff you can't get anywhere else like Blazin', the Las Vegas 51's report, and a court fact this. The show's only an hour long, and you're comfortable, so why even get up and channel surf? We got you. It's Out of Line. Today, What's on Tap is brought to you by Bubby's University, where you can get your degree in food, draft beer, gaming, and the hard stuff. The only major is a good time. Bring your Rebel ID and your first beer is free. You can enroll 24 hours a day. Yes, that means they never close. Bubby's University at 4570 South Hualapai between Tropicana and Flamingo. Go to bubbysuniversity.com for more information.
This is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot.
I never know, man. And one of my headphones is out. I can't hear it. There we go. So here's the deal. Before we talk about Blazin', which is, by the way, brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings at the 215 North Durango in the Montecito Crossing Plaza, a Hail Mary pass or a slap shot away from Centennial Hills Hospital. We're there every Monday night coming up this season for Monday Night Football. Man, definitely come on down and hang with us at Buffalo Wild Wings. We're giving away replica jerseys. We're giving away wing parties, and it's always a good time. It's always Blazin', and man, I get full there. I love the place. Just was hanging out with my friend, the general manager, Buffalo Wild Wings, this past Wednesday night at it was a wine and canvas thing. And, you know, I barely ever drink. So a couple glasses of wine and a shot will completely finish me off.
How are you feeling the next day?
You know how I was feeling the next day. You talk to me the next day. I can't have drinks, man. It just ain't in me. But, Blazin', the World Cup's Blazin', and we're going to talk about that in 1 second. But I got to tell you something, guys. Mags, I don't know if you heard about this guy, Jose. I know you didn't because I asked you when I first walked in the studio today. But how about the Cincinnati Reds reliever, Michael Lorenzen? Do you know, Mags, yesterday versus the Milwaukee Brewers in the bottom of the seventh, he hit a pinch hit grand slam home run. The guy's a pitcher. He did it. He's now 4-for-6 with 3 home runs and 7 RBIs this season. By the way, guys, the last pitcher to hit a grand slam home run, a pinch hit one, was Tommy Byrne on May 16th in 1953. Lorenzen has hit more pinch hit home runs this season than 16 Major League Baseball teams. And guess what, guys? He hit all 3 of those home runs this past week.
Wow.
He is a relief pitcher for the Cincinnati Reds, Michael Lorenzen. So, got to give him a shout-out and some serious blazing love, man. Michael Lorenzen, that is a stud hitter. How do you like that, man? 4-for-6 with 3 home runs and all this week.
Yeah, that's pretty incredible. I mean, that's... To be honest, I hate the designated hitter. I think it's the worst rule in sports. It really is. And look...
Max, it keeps a lot of people employed in the major leagues.
That's fine. And that's why it'll never go away, because the players' union would make the argument that you're making.
And it distinguishes between the American and National League.
Yeah, but you know what? I think the counter to that is then you just expand the roster by one spot. You know what? You could add another pitcher, or you could expand and add another, or add another batter. Because you know what? To me, the DH, it's an unfair advantage. It's dumb. Look, it takes away the strategy of the game, which you clearly get in the National League. It takes away a pitcher having to be responsible for being a punk and throwing at guys on purpose. Look, I understand hit batsmen are part of the game. Mistakes happen. But when you intentionally go out there and you beam somebody, that pitcher doesn't ever have to hit in the American League. There's no retribution for him being
a
punk.
No repercussions.
Yeah. So... Yeah. So you know what? Get rid of the DH. It's a dumb rule. Okay. And make it consistent across the board. I like the strategy in the National League because you know what? You get double switches. You get a lot of stuff like that. You know, like you're never going to get, what you brought up in the American League. It's a cool story.
Yeah, Michael Lorenzen.
And the American League, there's zero chance of that ever happening.
I don't know how we went from Michael Lorenzen being blazing to the DH rule, but it is a good point, Mags. It is an argument that will be ever-ending with traditionalists in Major League Baseball. I happen to like the DH rule, being a guy from the American League, and I've liked some of the guys' careers that I've watched get extended over time because of the DH rule.
Like Cecil Fielder.
But, like you, the perfect example, man. Of course, the big fella. But, you know... Again, it is a pretty amazing thing when you see a guy that is a pitcher. They don't spend a lot of time hitting a baseball. They don't spend a lot of time taking batting practice. And for a guy to hit 3 home runs in a week and a grand salami yesterday, 7 RBIs, it's really cool. But what's really blazing is the World Cup, guys. Right now, we've got Russia playing Spain. And I'll tell you, before this game started, I don't know a lot. I'm learning. Okay, but I would have said before the game, Spain is going to have 80% of the possession, and Russia is going to no way stay engaged with a superior team for 90-plus minutes and score goals against them. I was guessing Spain wins this game easily, and home turf means nothing, and yet here we are, 1-1, second half now.
Yes, 1-1. Not only
that.
Wow.
I mean, guys, come on. You're both surprised at this, right? I mean, Russia has played really well, but against, you both reminded me last week, against lesser opponents.
Yes.
This is not a lesser opponent.
No, they're playing well. And you know what? I was the person who said, don't believe the hype. They beat Saudi Arabia and Egypt. I think Egypt actually finished last in the tournament, and Saudi Arabia wasn't much better. You know, it's maybe I'm wrong, and maybe Russia's better than I thought. Playing at home clearly is an advantage for these guys. They're getting behind the crowd. I mean, they're being dominated today possession-wise.
Well, you knew that was going to happen.
You know what? The reality is they have a corner kick here, and it was a pathetic corner kick. But, you know, the thing
live
is they're going toe-to-toe with a lot of with the team a lot of people said was going to win the thing. So,
you know what it looks like?
Even though they're ranked 70th, though, you said, being at home has to be a huge momentum builder for them, right?
Look at the way, you know, and you always get a boost. I think South Africa was the only team to ever host the World Cup and not make it out of the group stages. I mean, South Korea made a run to the semifinals in 2002, and they were terrible before, and they've been terrible since.
Max, that almost, you know, I mean, we have known FIFA's been, has had some corruption issues over the years, yes. Obviously. So saying that the home team, other than South Africa, has always made it out of the round, getting to the round of 16, that scares me and starts to make me think, are we seeing soccer get fixed? Because officials can absolutely fix it. I don't believe so either. Yeah. But you're saying that it's only happened once. That's pretty surprising. Because a lot of times you'll see the home country, like in this case Russia, simply get an exemption into the tournament because they're home.
Well, yeah, they don't have to go through the qualification rounds like...
They get an automatic bid, basically.
They're the only one. It used to be the champion got an automatic bid, but then they did away with that, I guess, about 8 years ago, maybe 12. But, you know, it's a fascinating thing. Now, you brought up FIFA and corruption. There was a report out last week that FIFA knew about Russian soccer players doping, and they covered it up.
Shocking.
That's
shocking.
That would not surprise me for a variety of reasons. A, FIFA clearly is one of the most corrupt,
oh my God,
inhumane organizations on the planet because of what they're allowing to go on in Qatar.
It's the pyramid structure. The guys at the top of FIFA are some of the richest people in the world.
What's going on in Qatar is, that's a joke,
humanitarian crisis, you know? And then you don't hear a whole lot about it, but, you know, what's going on there is disgraceful. And then you have the fact that Russia politically, whether or not you believe they were involved in election fraud or not, that's a completely different story, but everything they've done in Crimea, FIFA should have pulled the stop on that. Both them and the Olympic IOC.
Sure. The IOC, you know, is as guilty as anybody for not stopping that.
100%. So it's not just FIFA who's ridiculously corrupt. The IOC is as well because they allowed Russia to compete in these Olympics this past year and win the gold medal in hockey, which was also a disgrace.
All right, well, here's the deal. Right now, you can turn it on. Listen to us while you're watching the game. It's pretty exciting. We're all staring up at the monitor here in the Fox Sports studio. Again, the number to call, 876-1340. Give us a call if you want to chime in. But, you know, guys, one of the surprising things, I think, to me anyways, not being a diehard soccer fan, I don't think it's as surprising to the two of you, but the two best players in the world, and two of the best players in soccer history, in Lionel Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo, are out of the tournament. Argentina, a very good team that I think was very poorly run by Sampaoli. Yeah, terrible job in running this squad. The organization, everything was bad, and neither one of these teams really seems set up to make a run in the World Cup. And it's sad when you've got players of that caliber, and especially a team like Argentina, that if that team is run and put together properly, they could make a run to win the World Cup, and yet they're both gone in the round of 16.
To be honest with you, man, the coaching staff on that team was really bad. They didn't bring Mario Icardi, which they should have brought, second leading goal scorer in the Italian league, which was a shocker to me by far. But I'll tell you guys, just like I said on social media yesterday after the game, Leo Messi, in my opinion, this is coming from a Messi fan, is not and should not be considered the greatest player in the world because of the World Cup that he did not show up to, which is this World Cup. After what you did 4 years ago and made it to the final, cry and say you're going to retire, and then you decide to come back to supposedly try to win the cup again, but then you need one game at the end of qualifying to barely make the cup, and then you decide not to show up, like Mag said, 8 knockout stage games without scoring a goal. I'm sorry, when you have a team that has players like Nico Otamendi, Marcos Rojo, you have Davila, Higuain, you have Angel Di Maria, El Kun Agüero, these are all stars that play in the European leagues that make good money, that are stars on their team, as where Cristiano Ronaldo has Pepe, and that's pretty much it. He has nobody else on his team and did a lot more to get his team to where they got. So I'm sorry, people are saying that Messi needed more help. No, Messi needed to show up in this World Cup, and that he did not do. Therefore, I'm sorry, you are not the GOAT, in my opinion.
Well, I like the passion.
Not me. I can't say I disagree, you know? The thing is, their defense stinks. Their midfield is not that good. But they've got a hell of a front line, you know? And that alone, the reality is, they put themselves in a bad situation because, quite honestly, they probably didn't deserve to get through the group stages. They were the beneficiaries of a controversial call. a handball that probably should have been called because it was called the day before against, I believe, it was called against Portugal when they played Iran. Very similar play. There was a handball awarded in the Mexico-South Korea game, which was similar. Player was, although he wasn't jumping, he was sliding, and his arm was in an unnatural position. They called the handball for Mexico. Mexico wins that game against South Korea 2-1. So they allowed that handball to not go. They went. They even went to the video.
Oh yeah, those.
But the VAR to me is not a good. I think the idea is good.
It sounds like it's something to do with money.
Yeah, VAR, video. I don't even know what it stands for.
No, but I'm saying that by not calling that handball, you want a certain team in moving on, right? It's about money.
That was a lot of the talk, you know.
It's about money.
Where if that's not Argentina, and that's not them playing for their lives, that handball may have been called. But to counter what Jose said, he's right. 8 knockout stage games, 0 goals. Look, and I don't buy it. I don't get into the debate who's better, Messi or Ronaldo. I look at it this way. They're both amazing players. And we're both very lucky to be living at a time where two fantastic players like those two guys are playing at the same time. But the reality is he's come up small in the World Cup. You know, I saw a useless stat that he's the first player to score in his teens, his 20s, and his 30s. Who cares? He's not scoring when he needs to be scoring in the World Cup. I don't care what you do in the group stage. I want to see what you do when the pressure's on in the knockout stage. And like I said, that team, they put themselves in a bad situation because they should have beaten Iceland. They were waxed by Croatia, and they were lucky to beat Nigeria. So they put themselves against a team that was clearly superior to them, and they just got beaten by a better team yesterday.
FIFA, you know what it stands for?
Let's see.
Financial integrity? Forget about it!
Doesn't exist, right?
You like it?
All
right,
good.
All right, there you go. Listen, you got a very intriguing matchup coming up at 11 o'clock this morning. Croatia and Denmark. Everyone was very impressed with the way Croatia played in the group stage. However, Denmark has a great goalkeeper and a great playmaker in Christian Eriksen, and they're a very cohesive unit. But Croatia is a better team and will win, setting up a match, I thought, between Spain and Croatia in the quarterfinal, and I felt that the winner of that game could very well be in the championship game on that side of the bracket. Magnum, Jose, your guys' thoughts?
I like Croatia in this game. I really do. I just think Croatia has a very good overall team. I mean, they're led by one of the best players, not overall in the world, I would say, but, you know, Modric is really, really, really good.
Yeah.
I mean, I see what you're saying when it comes to Denmark, but I don't think they're going to get past Croatia.
I kind of agree. You know, they're a good team. They played well in their group stages, but I think Croatia is a little bit more talented. Luka Modric is, again, fantastic player. Luka Rakitic is really...
Rakitic, yep.
He's also really good. You know, they've got a pretty solid midfield, pretty solid back four.
They should have a course on these guys' names.
Yes.
I mean, seriously,
and you know,
man.
You know what's crazy? Like, I've always thought, like, we saw the 30 for 30, but just how good would Yugoslavia be today if all those countries had stayed as one? Because you'd have Serbia in there, you'd have a couple of other. So, I mean, it's really an intriguing matchup, as you said. I like Denmark. I like Christian Eriksen. I like their goalie, Kasper Schmeichel, but I just think Croatia's too good. I think they'll break down Denmark, who will probably try to play a more defensive style, hoping to get something on the counter, but I just don't think that's going to work. Croatia, right now, them and Belgium have been the two best teams in the World Cup. That doesn't mean they're going to win it, but it's hard to find two teams that have played better than them.
Well, I'll tell you what, right now, how about Uruguay? I mean, what a surprise that team has been.
Yeah.
Undefeated, and I don't think at this point, the way they've played in the initial stages and now in the round of 16, that anyone would be surprised if that team emerged on top when it was all said and done.
Definitely not.
But I know tomorrow night, last game we'll talk about, we got to get to break. I want to get back on schedule, but it's not going to be out of line if I don't let Jose go off on a game tomorrow night. You know, Mexico, really a letdown game against Sweden. That 3-0 game. They played on their heels the entire game. They look like, in a soccer sense, a different football team, but American football, called the Detroit Lions, who played not to lose. I've watched them do that many times when they're in a positive situation. It looked like Mexico did that, and they lost 3-0 in a lopsided game that turned out not to matter, but now they're coming up against a Brazilian team that could win the World Cup, and how do they rebound from a 3-0 loss to Sweden? Do they have the wherewithal, the intestinal fortitude to say, man, we just got embarrassed against the team that we're probably better than? So do they move on from that game? Do they play against Brazil? Do they have any chance against the powerhouse that is Brazil?
If they play the way they played the last game, no way in hell. They'll get murdered once again. The thing about Mexico, and I've told you guys a couple times already, I think they're one of the best teams when it comes box to box. They cover the field completely, but they break down defensively way too much, and they miss way too many good scoring opportunities.
And no Hector Moreno in that game for Mexico either.
Double yellow, I take it? He got out? Yeah.
Two yellows.
And the biggest thing, too, is going to be here, believe it or not, is the officiating. Andres Guardado already came out and said to the refs, we all know who Neymar is. We all know what Neymar does. Let's watch him. He likes to fake. He likes to drop himself a lot. You can't even breathe on the guy because he's going to fall. But going back to Mexico, Mexico needs to come out and play a full, complete game in order to win this game. If they win this game, though, like I told you last night,
they'll have a letdown.
They're going to have a letdown.
Who cares?
But here's the thing. They need to get out of this stage. They have not gotten out of the second round of the knockout stage.
Biggest win.
So this will be the biggest win.
Mexico beats Brazil. Biggest win in the last half century.
Yes.
Yes.
And the biggest player, in my opinion, that needs to step up today, or tomorrow, excuse me, is Carlos Vela.
Well, in my opinion, from what I've watched, there's an old adage in sports. Mags, you know this one as very well as anybody. Defense wins championship. Mexico has holes defensively. And the only chance they have against Brazil, from what I've seen, watching them play twice now, is somehow they have to shore up defensively. It's not their goaltender's fault.
No, Ochoa's pretty good.
Ochoa's a beast. They have got to play better defensively, especially deep in their own end. If they don't, this could be a very long 90-plus minutes for the Mexican team tomorrow night.
I don't know.
Tomorrow morning,
because,
I should
say. You know, and like Jose said, Neymar, he's a better diver than Greg Louganis was. But, you know, the thing is, watch Mexico on the counterattack. If Mexico's counterattack is working, they will score goals against Brazil because Brazil's defense isn't
the greatest, yeah. Correct.
So, you know, Mexico on the counter, that could be the key to the game. If they're able to get that counter going, they're going to give Brazil a game. Problem is they can't go punch for punch with Brazil.
And then real quick, the only guy that I think Mexico has to watch out for more than anything is Marcelo. If you watch that guy covers the whole field, and he's a defensive man. So watch out for that guy as well.
Last thing I'll say before I go to break, the first quarterfinal matchup is set up between Uruguay and France. You guys both like France to win the World Cup at the beginning before the whole thing started. I don't think anyone saw Uruguay playing as good as they've played. That, to me, is going to be a hell of a game. And for those of you that are on the bubble, as far as whether you like soccer, what I call it, what Jose will call football, but either way, if you're on the border this Friday morning, get up a little bit early and check out that game. You're going to see probably some of the most fundamental soccer you would ever see between those two teams. Very, very fundamentally sound teams with some of the best players in the world going head to head.
And here's a quick note for you real quick. Mbappe, the 90-year-old from France, is the first player other than Pelé to be a teenager and score in the World Cup in the knockout stage and score 2 goals, just so you know that.
That's pretty cool. Listen, on the other side, we got Nightcap, and you definitely don't want to miss today's Fact This. It's all about the NBA. This is Out of Line.
I would have said you're smoking something. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
It is Fox Sports Radio. I'm Brian Feldman. We got Chris Magnum Chapman running the wheels of steel. And to my left on your radio dial once again, Jose Vellante, the creator and founder of Straight Bet Sports, a podcast that he's going to go weekly. What day are you getting that one?
I'm actually going to start doing it every Tuesday, so I'll be tweeting that out as well, and you can check it out the website, straightbestsports.com.
That's pretty cool. How about that soundbite, man? I will love that
forever.
That
is probably one of the greatest soundbites.
You're smoking something.
Some good
Thank
stuff.
You so much. I appreciate it.
As George McPhee, when I asked him if I would have told him a year ago that the Golden Knights are playing in the Stanley Cup Finals against the Washington Capitals, this before the team was formed, said, what if I were to tell you that a year ago? What when he said, you'd been smoking something pretty good. Anyways, one of my best and dearest friends called in this morning, and I greatly appreciate it. Got to get her on the phone. You all know her as Carlota, 92.3 Comp, the rock station. You can hear her every single day, Monday through Friday. And a person that went from absolutely knowing zero about hockey, big football and baseball fan, but now a big hockey fan. What's up, honey?
Hey, baby. How are you? Good morning.
You know, I'm so damn good, I can hardly stand it. It's a Sunday morning, and I know I got breakfast coming in about 25 minutes or so.
Are you getting humble pie for Christmas? I mean, for breakfast?
Yeah, you know, it's just, you know, the funny thing is that Carl, you know, everyone always asks, and they say, you know, how are you doing? And no one ever wants to hear anything but, like, I'm fine, how are you, right? So I always say I'm so damn good I can hardly stand it, because the other answer would be, look, I could tell you and start complaining, but who the hell really wants to hear that anyway, right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, there you go. So tell, you know, we've talked about this a plenty of time, just hanging out and stuff, but how wild is this? Can you imagine, just like I told George McPhee, if I'd have told you a year ago that 1 year from now you will be a rabid hockey fan, what would you have told me?
I would have been surprised, for sure. I mean, I definitely knew once Las Vegas announced, or the NHL announced that Las Vegas was getting a team, my first reaction was, well, I guess I'm a hockey fan. But I would be surprised that I'm actually finding that this may be the best sport. Like, that would be what would surprise me. Not that I'm a fan, because I'm going to support, but that I think it might be the best sport. Like, I might favor it over football and baseball, and I grew up on football and baseball. I just love the sport. What I've learned about it and, you know, everything, I don't know. That would be what I would be surprised about.
I'm surprised to even hear you say, you know, calling hockey the best sport, when I don't think before this year, in the decade plus I've known you, we've ever talked about hockey before this year.
Yeah.
And I'm from Detroit, which is hockey town, but there was never a need to bring it up. And now, for the last couple of months, honey, it's been part of almost every conversation we've had. And
I know. My dog agrees.
Why do you love it so much? What besides all the hoopla and hype and stuff we saw at T-Mobile Arena, why do you love it so much?
Because, okay, first of all, the first thing I noticed about it was I love the sound. I love the sounds of the skates on the ice and the puck hitting the stick and kind of sliding across and hitting another puck. Just the sounds of the game, I love. And again, the next thing I noticed is how much I loved when they got into a fight. Which, you know, the first game I ever went to, there was a woman behind me, a Kings fan, and she was behind me. And as soon as they got into a big old blasting fight, she looked at her husband and she goes, "See, honey, this is why I love hockey." And I was cracking up because I was in there too, like, get in a fight, you know, like, what? So the sounds of it, though, the it's smooth. It's almost calming in a really strange way for me.
You know, you got to sit up close at least once or twice, I know that, and the skill level and the ability these guys have to skate, it almost looks at times, and being a guy that's been skating since I was probably in my early teens, and I know how difficult it is, I think these guys are almost more comfortable on skates than they are walking on their own 2 feet.
Well, and that's why I think it's the best sport, because it seems to be the most difficult. I know hitting a ball at, you know, 100 miles per hour with the width of a bat, blah, blah, blah. I guess that's the most difficult thing in sports. But the fact that not only are they just ice skating forward at high speeds, which is not easy, they're doing it backwards as well. And it's constant movement. And not only are they doing that, but they're having to pay attention to this, you know, black puck going across the ice and really watching something go at a high speed, but then doing it while they're getting slammed into the walls as well. And then having to get the puck into a net the size of, you know, the goalie that's standing there, where soccer, you know, it's a 0-0 game, and they've got a net the size of a 2-car garage. So it's really, for me, I was like, wow, this really is the best sport. And I was so engaged the entire game. Where football, I'm engaged most of it. Baseball, whatever, is, you know. But hockey has you engaged every second. It's really great.
It'll wear you out. It will wear you out.
Oh, my God. I went to both double overtimes. The Kings and the Sharks. I went to both double overtimes at T-Mobile. The Kings game, it took me 2 days to recover, because it was so late, and I had to get up so early the next day, and it was so physically exhausting from screaming and yelling and whatever. Yeah, it'll wear you out.
No doubt about it. And I always say, yeah, what I say I love about the sport is, you know, especially me, I love contact sports. And there is no other sport on earth where you can go 30 miles an hour on your feet and hit somebody.
Right.
And if that's not bad enough, you're also carrying a big stick. I mean, come on, man. You know, there's nothing like
it. And then getting into a fight, you know, and it's okay for the most part.
Oh, it's cheered. It's revered.
Yeah, but even like most of the time, it's not a penalty.
No, and I'll tell you this, Carl. I don't know if you heard, but you know, today started free agency in the National Hockey League. The Knights have already let David Perron go. He re-signed with his old team, the St. Louis Blues. We're probably going to hear the departure of James Neal and Lucas Pisa very soon. But they did re-sign. We're talking about fighting, which is why I brought it up.
Reeves.
They re-signed Ryan Reeves, man.
Yep.
We got the toughest guy in hockey coming back.
Yeah, and you know what? I would be surprised if you told me a year ago that I was paying attention to NHL news, you know, come July. Like, what? It's crazy to me that I'm, like, now reading about it and, you know, wondering if we're going to get that one number one guy, Tavares or whatever. Like, all those crazy things. Like, I'm paying attention to this. It's crazy.
It is nuts. And listen, I really appreciate you calling. They did sign the first free agent today, Paul Stastny. They got him for $6 million a year for the next 3 years. Keep that name in mind. You'll like him. He is a good player. And I also think we're going to see a guy that really was fitting in. The players all liked him, but we never saw Tomas Tatar reach his potential. He's one of Magnum's favorite players.
Yeah.
And I think this year we're going to really see him step up and fit in well, because trust me, he's a perennial 20-goal scorer for a reason. The guy's really good.
Yeah, I'm excited. And Carlson, right? I mean,
believe me, they'll put chains and whips on that guy before they'll let him get out of town. I can tell you that right now. My good friend Carlota, check her out on Comp every day, Monday through Friday. Love you, honey. Thanks for calling in.
Love you too, babe. Talk.
All right, listen. Go ahead, Mags. Hit it.
Hockey players, as you know, are warriors. They don't give up. They come to play every game.
It's time for Nightcap, a cup full of the Vegas Golden Knights. From highlights to interviews to special events, the puck starts here.
Yeah, well, George McPhee is not going to be smoking anything today as he gets ready for free agency, gearing up. And as I just mentioned, Paul Stastny, already a part of the Vegas Golden Knights, a guy you guys are really going to like. $6 million a year. I know it sounds like a lot, but they have $30 million under the cap space, so they're going to be signing some more good players. Like I said, we knew before this whole thing that Perron was probably going to be shelved. And James Neal, as much as I think all of us would love to see that guy back, a leader on this team, without question, a star in the National Hockey League. Unfortunately, it just doesn't work out with the numbers, and I know he's going to be gone. And another guy that, Chris, I know you really like, Lucas Pisa, is a guy that just doesn't make sense with the way things are working out
for
them.
He's gone already, isn't he? Or didn't they release him or something like that?
No, I think the initial story was that they offered him a contract, but we found out that his agent is saying that they didn't offer him a contract, so... Regardless, it doesn't seem like
he's gone.
When you have that type of disagreement where one side is saying we offered him a contract, the other side is saying you didn't, he's not coming back. And it's a shame because I really like Lucas Pisa, but you know, I mean, it's a business and the goal is to get better. And unfortunately, Luca missed a lot of time this year due to injury. Mm-hmm. And
he played well in the postseason when he came in at the end. He really did. I think he helped himself out for a future in the National Hockey League.
Well, he did, except for that last game. He had a pretty rough game five. But, you know, I thought other than that, he did play well in the postseason when he did come back in. I mean, he kind of sparked the team a little bit as well.
Right, but they shelved John Merrill because of him.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. I mean, because John Merrill, another one of my favorite guys. But, you know, again, the goal is to get better. And if you think that one guy is going to help you, you do that, and we found that out today.
Well, there's a lot of young players coming up for this team, and they really are stockpiled for a successful future. I don't think the 2017-18, the first season, is going to be a fluke. I think you're going to see this team succeed for a while. You know, don't expect them Stanley Cup final stuff. I mean, I said it last year. You know, I'm not going to be surprised at anything anymore. But, you know, expect that this. This is what I'll tell you to expect out of the Vegas Golden Knights. Expect them to be competitive. Expect them to be always making moves. And expect them to be doing the unexpected, because that is the blueprint of George McPhee.
Well, like I said, you know, we saw that today with Paul Stastny. There was never a mention that the Golden Knights were interested in Paul Stastny. And then we wake up this morning and find out that Paul Stastny told Winnipeg he was leaving. And look, here's the thing about that deal. Paul Stastny is a really good player.
Really good player.
He's not an elite player, but he's a really good player. Mm-hmm. He's similar. His production will be similar to what David Perron's production is.
We're losing 100 points between Perron and Neal. 100 points.
Yeah, but here's the other thing. Not only do you help the Vegas Golden Knights, you hurt the Winnipeg Jets, who were the team you played in the Western Conference Finals. So it's a good move in that aspect as well, because you improved your team and you hurt a rival team. So I'm not crazy about the money. You know, I think the length of the deal is fine. I think $6 million a year or a little bit north of that, that is a lot of money when you factor in that, granted, they have longer deals, but you factor in that that's more per season than what Marchessault and Riley Smith are making.
True.
So, you know, I mean, I don't think that's going to be an issue, but, you know, it's a thing where, look, this is a 3-year deal worth $6 million a year, so you're going to pay the guy about $18 million over the course of the contract. They re-signed Ryan Reeves, 2-year deal, $2.75 million.
Loved it. Per Loved season. It.
They're in talks with Nick Holden now, who apparently, you know, has said that it's between Vegas and Boston. A big, 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 big defenseman. It's like 6'4", 215-pound big defenseman. And, of course, the whole Erik Karlsson, Bobby Ryan thing is still on the table as well.
Yeah, wow. Would that
so,
be exciting?
You know, I think it's the kind of thing where, look, if they're able to make this deal and bring in Erik Karlsson and Bobby Ryan, who I know a lot of people say, look, he's making a lot of money, that contract is an albatross, I think Bobby Ryan would be very productive in Vegas. I do.
I think Karlsson would be great, too. Man, the Washington fans are salivating to try to re-sign that guy. So,
Washington re-signed John Karlsson.
John Karlsson, you're right.
Erik Karlsson from Ottawa,
yeah, you're right.
Who is one of the best defensemen in the world. I mean, he is.
Well, and he's definitely not going to be an Ottawa Senator.
No. So
the bottom line is he's going somewhere, and it very well could be here, because the problems that they had there with their social media mishap is that'll be infamous. But listen, real quick, Matt, go ahead and hit fact this, because we got some pretty cool things.
Fact this. If you don't like the facts, take your ass back to bed. Fact this.
Well, it's a fact. Neither Paul George nor Chris Paul will be joining LeBron James if he goes to the Los Angeles Lakers. You know, I am in a bit of a quandary right now, but I still don't think this changes anything. I'm sticking with what I said all of last season in the 2018 and 19 campaign. LeBron James will be a Los Angeles Laker. I'm getting a lot of flack on it now that George has re-signed with OKC. And I got to tell you guys, I'm blown away that he did, because OKC is not going to improve. We saw what they were capable of this season with Carmelo Anthony, with Paul George, and of course with the ball hog, Russell Westbrook. But George was enamored. I think L.A. dropped the ball on getting him over there. It may only be a 1-year deal with OKC. But again, it's bothersome because they're not going to get any better. Now, Chris Paul, on the other hand, re-signing with Houston makes more sense. You know, remember, he got hurt and missed the final two games of the Western Conference Finals when they were leading that series 3-2. You add Paul George to the mix. I'm not going to say that Golden State still wouldn't have come through, but that's a big piece of the puzzle out. Now you re-sign him on this team with Harden. I'm telling you right now, the Houston Rockets could end up being the best team in the National Basketball Association next year if they all stay healthy. But the big question to me is, guys, and the fact this is, where does LeBron James land? Because now all of a sudden they're talking about Boogie Cousins. Boogie Cousins is coming back from an Achilles injury, which in the NBA could end your career. I don't care how young you are. And the other guy, of course, that is the big talk is, of course, Kawhi Leonard from San Antonio. But there's no way he's coming this year. And is LeBron really going to go to this team with youngsters? You've got to deal with LeVar Ball, and maybe you can get Boogie Cousins to come over and see how well he'll do off that Achilles.
Well, I think the Boogie Cousins thing is a panic move by the Lakers. They got burned by George. They thought they were so arrogant, and their fans were so arrogant that they just assumed, because it's the Lakers, just like they did a couple years ago with LaMarcus Aldridge, just because it's the Lakers, people are going to fall all over themselves to play for us. And they got burned by Paul George, and now the fans are burning him on Twitter because he trolled them, basically. Boogie Cousins, I don't know if he's a fit with the Lakers. I think he's got some issues that could be a distraction. And the thing is, like you said, he's coming off the injury. He's a great player. I like watching him. I like watching him play because, I mean, he is an amazing player. But is that the key piece to make LeBron James come? I don't know.
But then where, like I said, I've been saying L.A. all along. I still believe it's L.A. I think it makes sense where his kid's going to high school there. But
does he really want to babysit? Does he
Here's the deal. No, it's not. There's babysitting.
This coming from a Laker fan.
No, there's not just babysitting. Talk about pressure. They're not going to take going to the NBA Finals or getting to the Western Conference Finals. The bottom line is, in L.A., you win championships when you're a superstar and you come there. They want another Kobe Shaq incident. They want Magic Johnson. The Lakers want to win. And they're going to expect, if they go out and get LeBron James and another superstar, say it is Kawhi Leonard, they are going to expect to get to that elite level and start winning championships. And if LeBron James can't come through and bring L.A. another championship, they'll consider his career a failure. They really will. That's L.A. fans, man.
Well, the thing is, he's not going to win a championship in L.A. with Boogie Cousins and the babysitting that he's going to have.
Kawhi Leonard comes next year.
Well, that's a different story.
That's a different story.
It is a different story. But here's the thing. LeBron, the hell with L.A. Go to Philadelphia. It's an easier road to the finals. It's an up-and-coming team with a lot of really good young players.
Some good players.
You don't like him going there, huh?
You just said it. Easy road. But he needs to prove himself. He needs to come to the West.
No, he doesn't. No, Jose, I disagree with that.
I'm sorry. The East is LeBron versus the East. The West is the West. It's a lot tougher.
But here's the thing. I agree with you that he's never really proven himself because he's always taken the easy way out. The whole thing with going to Miami was taking the easy way out. I'm gonna call myself the king, but I'm gonna go to someone else's team. It was a chump move, and you know what? He got shut down by JJ Barea in the finals. That's all you need to know.
JJ Barea,
whose wife is more well known than poor JJ. But the thing is, he's always been about the easy way. He's never wanted to do it the hard way. It's always been about the easy way. It's the case with all these guys. They don't want to earn anything.
They're prima donnas. NBA players are the prima donnas of professional sports. I've been saying that all along. We got to get through everything. I do want to tell you, though, I talked about Chris Paul re-signing with the Rockets. The Rockets do lose a big piece of that puzzle in Trevor Ariza. You know, he went to the Phoenix Suns, a one-year deal worth $15 million. And I like this Phoenix Suns team's mag. This is a team next year. I want to tell you right now, look out for them. Devin Booker, Josh Jackson, Mikhail Bridges. This is
DeAndre Ayton.
Oh, my goodness. I'm telling you right now, the Phoenix Suns are a team next year that can get to the second round of the playoffs next year. And beyond that is a team that, let's slow down a little bit.
Yeah.
They have to make the playoffs first.
I am telling you right now, remember I said it here, when this team gets to the second round of the playoffs in the Western Conference Finals next year, you're going to say, Yeah, you're going to say, I don't remember you saying that. We're going to have to pull up the podcast.
We'll have it archived.
Okay, because I really like...
What happens when they don't make the playoffs next year?
Okay, well, then you guys can get on me, okay? Hey, we're not going to bet any more lunches. I still don't have my lunch for winning the football pool last year. So, I mean, I don't know what... But you know,
I'm waiting for you to call me and say, let's go.
The one thing I will tell you, it's not really a rumor, but last night ESPN's Dave McManaman did tweet out at about 12 o'clock that Cavs GM Kobe Altman had spoken to both Rich Paul and LeBron James over the phone.
It means nothing.
And that's exactly what I said. I think that it's a bunch of crap.
He gave Pat Riley a phone call before he left Miami, too.
So there you go.
Yeah.
And then also the other free agent moves in the NBA. We'll move on. We got to get to a break and finish this up. But DeAndre Jordan is supposedly going to be joining the Dallas Mavericks on a one-year deal worth about $24 million. But if you remember, he committed to the Mavericks back in 2015, and then he backed out and went back to the Clippers. So who knows with him? And Kevin Durant, who just became the first player in NBA history to win back-to-back NBA Finals MVPs in his first two seasons with the team, will be staying put with the Warriors, signing a one-on-one deal that does include a player option. And, of course, Nikola Djokovic, the big Serbian from the Denver Nuggets. How about the deal he just signed? He inked a five-year, $148 million deal. This will be his fourth year in the league, and he has increased his points, assists, and rebounds per game in each of the first three seasons. I like the guy. I like the Denver Nuggets. They're a fun team to watch. Listen, we got to go to break. We are going to come back. We will talk about one more thing I wanted to say, maybe an NBA team in Las Vegas. This is Out of Line. Out of Line, Fox Sports Radio. We're here every Sunday morning, 8 to 9, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM. I'm Brian Feldman. In front of me, man in the big board, Chris Magnum Chapman, our producer, and of course, Jose Belonte to my left. Hook us up all over Facebook and, of course, Straight Bet Sports. Definitely check out the podcast. Real quick, the Las Vegas 51s report brought to you by the Las Vegas 51s, the AAA franchise of the New York Mets. They are out of this world, and they are in this world and actually in town right now. Today, tomorrow, and Tuesday, they will be here playing the Salt Lake City Bees, or the Salt Lake Bees is what they're called. Today's game is actually a night game. I think it's 7 o'clock, all three nights, 7:05 first pitch. So get down there, check it out. Tomorrow's Value Menu Night, and that's always a good time. You can definitely take the family for a great, inexpensive eating. Las Vegas 51s again. They're out of this world. And guys, real quick, heading out. I was saying, we've got professional hockey here. We're going to have professional football here in a couple years when the Raiders come to town. I swear I thought I saw Adam Silver disguised walking around T-Mobile Arena watching the NHL Finals, salivating over what he was seeing. He has been an advocate of gambling. He has been an advocate of Las Vegas. I think there's no question the NBA will get here before the Major League Baseball does. Mags, how soon do you think it's going to be before we see an NBA team in Vegas?
I think the Memphis Grizzlies will move here within the next 5 to 10 years.
I think 5 years at the most. I don't think it'll be longer than that before we... The question is, Jose, do they build another stadium, or do they play at one of the ones we already got done?
I say we build another one, and we'll be here in 3 years.
Architectural heaven here in Las Vegas, and we're just about out of time. How about the game yesterday? Last thing I'll mention, the turn ahead the clock day. If you didn't get to see that yesterday up in Seattle, they did it years ago, 20 years ago as well. It is really cool. Listen, we are out of time. I'm Brian Feldman. I want to thank everyone for listening today. Want to thank, as always, Chris Chapman, my producer, Jose Valonte. Want to thank Carlota for calling in and joining the show and chiming in. We'll be back next Sunday, same time, same place. Fox Sports Radio, 8 to 9, Sunday mornings. Out of Line, I'm Brian, and...